What's he listening to?
The Young God Podcast.
Before we begin, let's take a deep breath to center ourselves in this moment. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's begin. God gang, welcome. And thank you. Thank you so much for celebrating me on my birthday. Thank you so much for thinking of me, for the gifts, for the donations that have come in since then. Thank you for putting your money where my mouth is. I received a couple of messages from some international listeners who were like, hey, the link doesn't support us sending money from here. And that's cool. The thought counts. I appreciate you trying and, you know, just taking that extra step to click the link and see what's up. For those who haven't yet, who are still considering, who are still waiting for that time of the month, the donation link is in the episode note of every episode from my birthday going forward. So whenever you're ready, whenever you're feeling generous, it's one click away. Now, on to the show. On to why we're here. In case you missed it, there was a pastor on the podcast for the first time in the previous episode. I'm still buzzing from the high of that encounter. We had such a swell time and a deep discussion about spiritual intelligence. That conversation had me thinking deeply about the nuances of being spiritually intelligent. As in, what are some of the telltale signs of someone having spiritual intelligence? So when we talk about sexual intelligence or emotional intelligence, I got into what that looks like. But what about spiritual intelligence? And I realized, you know how the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them? I think there's something there, because you have to understand that fruits are the signs and evidence of God's grace in your life, that you're in your element. So maybe one of the signs of spiritual intelligence is being able to notice your fruits, no matter how small or unusual. And these fruits tend to come in the form of recurring patterns. So now I'm thinking about my fruits, and I noticed three small but incredibly meaningful things repeat themselves in my life over the past 24 months. People trying to hook me up with their female friends, people trying to convert me to Islam, or people trying to get me to join their church. True story. I think it's pretty cool that someone would find me worthy of their female friend or their religion in this day and age. If those aren't fruits, I don't know what is. Unfortunately, this is not the episode where I'll talk about spiritual intelligence in depth. What I really want to focus on is one of my fruits, being invited to church, because that's where things get most interesting. First of all, it is an honor. I show my gratitude every time I'm invited, but then I inform them that though I am a Christian, Catholic in fact, I do not go to church. At least not regularly. I mean, I attend mass or service when I am moved, but it's not a point of duty. Now, whenever this detail comes up, churchgoers get excited and a little bit judgmental. Some see me as a poor soul to be saved. Some think their church could be the one that changes my mind. Some have opinions and questions for days. Why don't you go to church? I have no need for it. What do you mean? The Bible says so and so and so. Churchgoers know all the verses that have to do with church and fellowship. They can't wait to whip out the Matthew 18:20 verse that says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am with them." What if I told you that verse has absolutely nothing to do with going to church? It is a verse that is always quoted out of context. Do your research.
Take me to church, I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death, the good God, let me give you my life. Take me to church.
The thing that grinds my gears is when they insinuate that my relationship with God is lacking because I don't go to church. I respectfully disagree. One can have a rich relationship with God without ever setting foot in church. Hell, I would even argue that going to church is a crutch for the spiritually weak. Whoa. But more on that later. It's like, I'm churchless, not godless. There's a difference. That most Christians can't see this in 2024 is quite telling. And so, in this episode, I'm going to talk about my issues with Nigerian church. Matter of fact, I have three issues, three bones to pick. It's not all negative, though. There are a few things I appreciate about church. You'll hear about those as well. I'll also go into details about some of the invitations I've gotten, including my experience at one of the ones I accepted. I guess I just want to get a few things off my chest. I want to take you behind the scenes of my faith, my relationship with church, and I also want to expose the flaws in our faith system. I want to hold Nigerian Christians accountable on some letter from St. Paul to the Corinthians type shit. And seeing as I had a pastor in the previous episode, I thought, why not stay in the spirit of things? So, without further ado, let me take you to church. My name is Rodney Omokache, and you're welcome to The Young God, a podcast for gods.
Yeah. Stand back, God talk. Watch calls.
On many occasions, people have listened to this podcast or seen my content on social media or had a conversation with me, and they get excited like, you remind me of my pastor. You should check him out. You will like him. They either send me his content or they invite me to Sunday service to see him in person, which I decline every time. I guess I'm just not thrilled that the reason they vibe with what I'm saying is because they heard their pastor say it first. Not because what I said was the truth. If they had heard it first from me, they may have rejected it or decided that they didn't like me. It means nothing to me because most Nigerian Christians love to put their pastors on a pedestal. It doesn't matter what he says, they'll believe it because he said it. So forgive me if I'm not flattered. Invitations to church have come in many ways, Sha. Some more interesting than others. I once received a DM from an admirer out of the blue. She tried to be slick. She said,
please, why did I dream of you attending my church?
Me too, I was like,
please, why?
She goes,
I don't know.
Then I ask,
what church do you attend? The Logic Church. What a name.
At first, I thought it was a cool new church branding itself as a practical approach to worship and fellowship. Come to find out, Logic is actually an acronym for Love of God in Christ Church. Word? I did not expect that. Never heard of it. Have you? You know what? These new age churches be going hard with the names and acronyms. And I'm here for it. See, this is one of the things I like about church. Whether it's Orthodox or Pentecostal, we Christians don't play about the names of our places of worship. Other religions are not as creative or intentional. On a separate occasion, I received an invite from a church with another fascinating acronym, ROGIC. That's R-H-O-G-I-C, an acronym for Revival House of Glory in Christ. It's as if the founder sat alone in a dark room all by themselves for days, fasted and prayed, spoke in tongues and everything, and then picked random words that have spiritual connotations and joined them together. The darker truth is that these names are picked very deliberately. See how Logic sparked my interest at first? Churches are named in such a way that they catch the attention of people with certain psychological profiles. For example, House on the Rock. That's a powerful name for a church. If you heard that for the first time, depending on where you are in your life spiritually, you'd be like, damn, that sounds powerful. God must be there. And before you know it, you've probably got their bumper sticker on your car. It's people like that are most eager to invite you to their church. They've been so thoroughly submerged in the source that they can't wait to share their joy with the rest of us. Anyway, back to the dreamer from Logic Church. I asked her if she remembered any details from her dream. She responded,
you were wearing one of your robes or tunics. Seemed like you had just parked and were walking to the building.
See, now, that's a cool visual. I could totally see myself in that. I don't know if people just dream about other people in their finest moments, but I'm here for it. Sign me up. That is a dream I don't mind living up to. One church that has a very interesting name is Koinonia. A bold choice. It's a mouthful though. Koinonia. Doesn't roll off the tongue like love of God in Christ Church or house on the rock. But the meaning is perfect. It means an intimate spiritual communion among Christian believers. Koinonia also happens to be the church I once accepted an invitation to. It had to be. It was during one of their special Sunday events. Now, that was an experience. But not for the reasons you'd expect. The first sign that I was in for a trip was when I was advised to arrive at 2 p.m. for a service that starts at 6 p.m. What? I arrived at 3 p.m. to find every single nook and cranny of the auditorium filled. The place was massive and overflowing with people inside and outside. Apparently, people traveled from all over Nigeria and the world to be there, right here in Abuja, to listen to a man of God, to curry favor from God. All I could think of was the wasted time spent traveling to the venue, waiting hours in advance for the service to start, and then another 3 to 4 hours of the actual service itself, then traveling back. I don't know, man, maybe it's just me, but that's time better spent on doing the actual work God called us to do. But I guess that's just how much church means to some people, and I have to respect that. But personally, spending 3 hours waiting for a 3-hour service was unbearable. I was uneasy, hot, and restless. But I was there. I reminded myself to stay curious, to keep an open mind. Maybe all these people knew something I didn't. The person who had invited me was someone I respected. They were both a good Christian and good company, so the wait wasn't so bad. Eventually, it came time for service, and boy, did Koinonia put on a motherfucking show. I was up in the gallery, so I had the best view in the house. The production value was off the chain. You know what? That's another thing I appreciate about churches. Nigerian churches, Pentecostal churches particularly. In fact, all churches. The production value, the attention to detail in putting on a motherfucking show for the congregation. They don't play about their production budget. The lengths they go to create spectacles is worthy of emulation. I can respect the effort they put into keeping their audience engaged and meeting the needs of today's hyper-stimulated audiences. From the production, to the sermon, to the songs, everything was designed to thrill. I understand the appeal. It's like a free concert every Sunday. Who wouldn't go to church every Sunday if you're gonna get a low-key Beyoncé experience for free? When your church goes to such great lengths to entertain, you have to stand. I understand why churchgoers keep inviting people, because the more the merrier. More is more. If I'm keeping it 100 though, there's a lot we can learn from churches in this regard. I need to be more intentional about the ambience and production value at my future shows. It's an aspect I've slept on just because I'm not sure what the Young God visual ambience is yet. I'm more focused on the content for now. As for churches, I can't argue with their style. It's their substance that I question. More on that later. Regardless, while I was there, I participated. But it was too long. After the first hour, I didn't want to be there anymore. I was over it. And so I left, never to return. Are you a podcaster? Have you ever thought, my podcast is trash, I can do better, but you're not quite sure what better is? I can't relate, but I can help. I'm hosting a 3-day paid masterclass called the Podcast Intelligence Masterclass, where I'll show you the game within the game of audio storytelling, of making a podcast that keeps listeners engaged and coming back, that sponsors want to put their money on. I'll cover things to do with storytelling, scripting, voicing, audience / community building, and idea generation. But wait, there's more. I'm offering the first 5 registrants a personal podcast review. I'll give good feedback on core elements of your show so that you can plot a path to podcasting excellence. To register, visit the link in my bio, and don't forget to tell a podcaster near you. You know they desperately need it. I know I'm not the first person to not go to church. Atheists do it all the time. Even some Christians do it some of the time. But I think my case is particularly weird because I'm a millennial born and raised in an Igbo Catholic household. Church every Sunday, morning devotion, the rosary, stations of the cross, baptism, catechism, first Holy Communion and confirmation, you name it. I've been through it all. I went to a Catholic secondary school for 6 years. I was 14 or 15 years old when I read the Bible end to end out of curiosity. Based on all of that, I should have ended up a staunch churchgoer, or at least a moderate churchgoer, at least. But I never conformed, so clearly God had other plans for me. For as long as I can remember, me and church never gelled. It never excited me. It felt like punishment to me. I couldn't stand the length and the routine, the repetitiveness of sitting, standing, and at some point kneeling every Sunday. Reciting the same readings, hearing the same sermons, and saying the same prayers year in, year out felt counterintuitive. It felt like doing too much without doing what was truly important, especially since none of it amounted to any real progress in the world around me. Nigeria was shit then, and it's worse now. It was clear to me that God valued something else. It was only much later that I would understand exactly what that was. But for the first 18 years of my life, I begrudgingly went to church every Sunday. And the moment I left my parents' roof, I stopped going. Ironically, that was when I started finding God. I stopped going to church, but I didn't stop thinking about God, dwelling on God. Most people completely sever the thread of their home training. I didn't. And boy, am I glad, because my Catholic background really grounded me in my adulthood. It saved me a lot of trouble, a lot of trauma. My home training came in clutch many times, because without it, I may have sold my soul a long time ago. I am glad I have the Catholic background I have. I feel secure in it. When I compare it to other denominations of Christianity that exist, I think, for me, Catholicism feels most close to what Christ intended. Again, this is just me. I remember there was a time between 2009 and 2013 when being an atheist was cool. It was the in thing. Thank God, because I never wanted to be that cool. Becoming an atheist never occurred to me. I always knew God existed, but I felt a disconnect between what was being taught and what was happening in the world. I needed to understand how what happened in the Bible connected with what was happening in my life and the world at large. I needed to understand what the life and teachings of Jesus Christ meant outside of praise and worship in church. Once I figured it out, I never looked back. Church felt redundant to me. Best way I can put it is, if the church is for the sick, I have no business being there. I am good.
Yo, run that back. Run that back.
If the church is for the sick, I have no business being there. I am good. I know how that sounds, but if you know, you know. So when people talk about searching for a church to be part of, when they talk about needing that sense of community and fellowship, I can't relate. I know it sounds weird, but that's just not something I desire, never have. They would often say to me, maybe you just haven't found your space yet. But I have, though. It's just not man-made. My body's the original temple, and God is here. Believe me, I appreciate and respect what church does for those who attend. But I want you to know that there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to worship, to having a relationship with God. Even the Bible says as much, but you wouldn't know that because you're so focused on that Matthew 18:20 verse. I would like for you to consider that maybe my experience of God is valid, even if it defies conventional practice. We are all tasked with developing our individual relationships with God, right? Mine just happens to be a function of wandering in the wilderness on my own, as opposed to sitting in a church with people. And as they say, not all who wander are lost.
You're a visionary. You're a visionary. No, see, know it and begin to accept the responsibility of it beyond pride, the ego trip of it. You're a visionary. It's undeniable.
My case is weird, but it gets weirder. So apart from not going to church, I also don't partake or care for the Nigerian style of loud, aggressive prayers and praise popular in Pentecostal churches or in the average Nigerian home. If you ask me, I don't think one has to do all that to get favor from God. God is surprisingly easy to understand and to experience, but Nigerian churches have created a monopoly. Either way, I respect how others choose to worship. As for me, let's just say that I have a philosophical approach to worship. I found that the highest forms of prayer and worship are intent and action. Vocalized prayer sets the intent, but actionable prayer delivers the results. Some people pray day and night for breakthroughs and a turnaround in their lives, but their actions aren't prayerful. A physical reality in a spiritual world requires a spiritual prayer be followed with physical prayer. The monks of St. Benedict say, "Labore est orare," Latin for "to work is to pray," sums up this idea perfectly. Waking up every day to choose love and kindness is the highest form of worship. Taking care of yourself and others is the highest form of worship. Working relentlessly towards your desires is the highest level of worship. Respect is the highest form of worship. Not taking shortcuts is prayer. Walking away from toxic situations is prayer. Lighting up people's faces and hearts with positivity is worship. Ever seen individuals who have never prayed a day in their life or seen the inside of a church and yet keep smashing their life goals out of the park? Those people pray. They pray through action. They worship through their actions. They uphold their oath every day. When things don't go your way, check your physical prayers. You may be praying only in spirit, but hardly in action. You may be complaining, doubting, hating, or some other spiritually unintelligent act. Real ones know that there ought to be a balance between spiritual and physical prayer. My rule of thumb is, pray through your actions for things you want, and pray through your words for things you're grateful for. You hear this song? This song is widely considered to be one of the greatest Nigerian gospel songs ever made. Now, this is the part that bursts my brain. The way she sings my surname. Listen. Oh, wow. Hear that. If someone sang your name like that, wouldn't you shed tears? Come on now, the emotion, the weight of my name. Omokache means what he starts, he finishes. What an epic way to describe God. Yet another thing that God and I have in common. Ah, you'd love to see it. It always makes me proud hearing my name sung like that. This is the only correct way to say my surname, by the way. If you can't say it like that, don't say it. Just don't. Let's not say the young God's name in vain. God damn it. You know what else is worship? This podcast, this moment, this interaction is worship. It's you, me, and God. That's May 1820 again. Here we are communing, just you and me, while I communicate in openness and good faith about my relationship with God and the truth of my point of view. Every person listening at this moment, wherever you are, this is Koinonia. Someone once asked me, "What does your podcast do for you? Apart from the money, network, or fame it brings, how does it affect your spirit and your soul?" That was a great question. First of all, the actual work of creating this podcast edifies me. It has taught me many virtues and values that no pastor could ever teach and no sermon could ever make clear. Virtues and values I transfer to other aspects of my life and to people. Then there's the feedback and the impact. Fam, the young God is incredibly impactful. My work actually works. My podcast makes people better, wiser, and more creative. And that has been well documented. And it's those lives, those relationships, that impact that mean everything to me. My work makes the world a better place. Can you honestly say the same about your church? And finally, the quality of the people this podcast attracts, this audience. You guys, y'all are spiritual, sensual, and sensible. Y'all are special. This podcast attracts special souls. To those who say, you haven't yet found your church, my response is, I don't know, maybe I have. The Young God is my church. God is here. Not that I am a preacher and you're my congregation. No, more like I'm making a solemn offering of my time, skill, and creativity up to God, and y'all are willing witnesses. At the end of the day, my overall point is that the church does not have monopoly on God, worship, and fellowship. Even though they make it seem like they do, they don't. God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, has given us ample opportunity to serve, to connect with Him, and to connect with each other. If you can't see that, well, that's between you and your God.
Lord is my witness.
Remember, in the intro, I mentioned that I have three issues with the church. So this is the moment where I take a page from St. Paul and write a letter to every fucking church in Nigeria. Let go. Dear Nigerian churches, I have three issues with y'all. One, y'all take three things from people that they can't afford to waste and can never get back. Number one is money. Y'all take too much money from people. I get that churches are organizations and a lot goes into making those lavish productions happen. But what tangible things do people get for all that money you take from them? Emphasis on tangible. Mega churches in particular, with all that money you're making, y'all should have three institutions that serve your people. A school for your people's kids, a bank to invest in your people, and a community farm or food bank to feed your people good food. So number one, y'all take too much money. Number two, y'all take too much time. They can make that money back, but they can't make time back. There's a church service every other day, and each one is 90 minutes to 3 hours long. Y'all have 12-hour night vigils, all-night prayers and whatnot. Y'all have all kinds of time-stealing activities in there. God don't need all of that. Jesus died so that we don't have to do all of that. Church has no business being more than 1 hour long. Save your people some time so they can, you know, spend it doing things like resting, connecting with their family, and working on themselves. The third thing that y'all take from people that they can't afford to waste or have misused is hope. Y'all abuse our hope, man. That's the worst of them all. Some of y'all feed on the people's fear. Y'all teach an us versus them mentality, and that is simply anti-Christ. At this point, let me clarify that I'm not saying every church has these issues. But if the shoe fits.
Take me to church.
The onus is on you, the churchgoer, the congregant, the member of those churches, to know exactly what your church, your pastor, is made of. Really examine what is going on. If you're going to offer up your soul and spirit to something, it's on you to make sure it is the right source or channel. And it's very easy to know the churches that have the right idea. Love and faith. These are the basis of Jesus' life and teachings. Most Nigerian churches run on warfare and promises of wealth generation. They play on the country's dire situation and the people's fear, making their members dependent on them for salvation. What we have is a country of Christians with no agency, because churches don't teach the practical meanings behind the Bible stories. Some do, but it's not the focus. Prayer, praise, and worship are the real dopamine hits that these churches offer. They don't teach their members skills that they can use to change their lives and change the world. Practical skills that support prayer, praise, and worship. They don't really help people understand what is going on in the world and within themselves. The MO is to blame Satan, blame the devil. And the devil is there like, yes, put the blame on me. Because the attention is a win for him. Because whatever you give attention to, you give power. Or more. Again, if this does not apply to you and your church, that is fine. Just be wise to acknowledge that there are foul things going on in the Nigerian church industry that may or may not be contributing to our collective suffering. Things are not as they seem. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to church. I'm saying take a closer, deeper look at what is going on. Don't be so taken by the show, by the style, by the charisma of your pastor that you automatically assume your church is the best thing since sliced bread. And even if it is the best thing since sliced bread, Jesus said, man must not live by bread alone. Yeah. I am the Alpha and Omega. Here is some additional food for thought. Everything we know about Christianity, we got from colonialism. The state of the country at this moment is by colonial design. Nothing in this country works. So what makes you think they gave us Christianity that works? Let that sink in.
Who's there?
It's me. The sink.
Let's take a moment to pause and breathe. Relieve the tension. Whatever you're doing, close your eyes, take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. One more time. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's resume.
For the final time in this episode, I will reiterate, I do not have a problem with religion or with churches. The world would be 100 times worse without those forces in place to at least hold us morally accountable in some way. A false sense of accountability is better than no sense of accountability. Religion keeps us civil. It keeps us hopeful. It gives us a reason to be good until we find a good reason, the right reason to be good. As for church, I get why people are committed to going or finding a church. It offers security, community, fellowship, and a sense of salvation. I'm here for whatever makes you feel closer to your God. Few things are more powerful than a human's need to believe. Just be careful what or who you believe in. Be careful who you listen to, because whoever has your ears has your life. Be careful not to make mere men an idol, which is maybe the grossest thing about church culture today. The pedestal pastors and preachers are put on is against everything Christ stands for. Pastors have done nothing to me personally, but I have a healthy distrust for anyone who says they can pray away another person's problems. Even Jesus didn't build his brand on that. People say humans are not perfect when their pastors fall short in silly ways. Bullshit. That's a lame excuse. When you claim to be a man of God, when you make that your thing, the onus is on you to hold yourself to the highest standard. If you take your calling seriously and understand the responsibility of having access to the hearts and minds of thousands, you have to know better than be caught in some stupid shit. Mind control becomes evident when church members cannot see this, when they defend bullshit. Why would I or anyone want to be part of that? Peter Obi once made a tweet calling for Nigerians to take seriously their role as quote-unquote enlightened citizens. I laughed because enlightened citizens hold their religious and political leaders accountable. They think for themselves and do right by one another. But our citizens vote in back-to-back-to-back-to-back failed presidents, then go to church and pray about it. Who are we kidding? Oh, 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 only bad religion could have me feeling the way I do. I just need churchgoers to be okay with the fact that not everyone goes to church, not everyone cares for church, and it does not make them less worthy of salvation. Not everyone can speak in tongues. Not everyone is comfortable with praying and singing loudly in large groups. And we don't all have the same interests or calling. The first quality of a Christian is to be understanding. The second is to be non-judgmental. To love your neighbor as yourself. To accommodate things we don't understand because God knows why he let things unfold the way they have. That's faith. An unreserved opening of the mind to the truth, whatever it may turn out to be. Faith has no preconceptions. It is a plunge into the unknown. Belief clings, but faith lets go. In this sense of the word, faith is the essential virtue of any religion that is not self-deception. Have some fucking faith. Back to the matter of spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence is knowing what you need and not just doing what everyone is supposed to do. Ever consider that the reason you need church so bad, the reason you stand church so much, is not because Jesus or the Bible said so, but because it is literally all you've ever known. Since you were a child, since Sunday school, church is all you've ever known. You know no other way to reach God. That's how indoctrination works. Even when you are grown and able to make your own choices, you cling to old, comfortable habits. Even if your spirit is crying out for change, you conform. If this is not the case for you, again, that's cool, but I'm certain it's the case for most. At the end of the day, the best way to judge your faith and belief system is to ask yourself some questions. Are you getting what you want out of life as a result of your faith? Is your headspace good? Are you confident and optimistic? Are you one with all people? Even when the material things are not abundant, is your love of life abundant? These are evidence of God. This is heaven. These are not fruits you grow in church. You grow them by living and learning and loving, like Jesus did. By your fruits we shall know you. You can't use church to disguise. Real eyes, real eyes, real eyes. This is the Young God.
This got talk. This got talk.